Blog Talk Radio.
Bless this holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to say a short prayer and then welcome in the Holy Spirit. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. God in heaven, who sits in heaven above and on earth beneath, you are truly the ruler over all of the nations. Power and might are in your hands. No one can stand against you. You are God in heaven, who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel gave it to the descendants of your friend Abraham. You have likewise gone before us to open doors we could not open on our own, and you led us in a path we could not have created on our own. We stand before you and lift up your great name, God in heaven. We lift up our eyes and look to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
I am the creator, I am the maker of the universe, I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am a healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop this.
I am the one. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand.
Where you start, I am the one.
90 years old, and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby. She laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be peace.
Amen. To God be the glory.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise be to God. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. God in heaven, whatever is born of you overcomes the world. We are born of you, and so we overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, because you are God in heaven, the God over all, the God in heaven. Forgive our little faith when it comes to living and walking in the victory you have gained for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have mercy on us when we doubt your promises. You are the God of heaven. You are over all. Show us your great grace as you pardon our sins against you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. If you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can call in your prayer requests at that same number. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with our devotional message for this evening. Praise God.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you're greater. Greater than all, greater than all, you're
Amen. Praise God. It is now time for our devotional message, which is entitled Reflecting Jesus. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And it says, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Amen. And the writer says, God's will for your life is for you to look like Jesus, reflecting his character, purposes, and mission. The process of transforming you into Christ's likeness progresses as you present yourself as a holy sacrifice unto the Lord in increasing measures. Romans 12, 1 through 2. However, the ability to do this hinges on having a good understanding of who God really is. He is the Lord God, the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of all that exists, the only true and everlasting God, your Savior, who deserves your wholehearted devotion and praise. He not only created you with care, but redeemed you in love. And because he gives you both earthly and eternal life, he has a right to work through you as his ambassador for his glory. This is not an easy process, but friend, I can testify this is life at its very best. The plans he has for you far outshine what you could ever imagine for yourself. Therefore, trust him to transform you. Be responsive to whatever he asks and walk in God's will. Amen. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Lord, please help us take hold of whatever you want us to understand and however you desire for us to serve you. Help us be like Jesus. We surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
God. and permeate all my soul. Love of God overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours.
Every praise
is to our God.
don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God. God in heaven, we thank you for causing us to always triumph in Christ Jesus and for having given us the victory through our Savior. As the God of heaven, you own all. You know all. You are over all. Thank you for your greatness and might, and yet for not forgetting about us. Rather, you desire to intimately relate to us in a loving way. Thank you, God in heaven, for who you are and how you have chosen to express yourself through the blessed gift of sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to earth so that we may know you more fully through him. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
God had a plan.
God had a plan
before the world began for you.
He had a plan. Oh, Your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain?
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now we're going to get ready to go into our lesson for this evening. And at this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains.
Valley.
Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Lift your voice.
Forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Come on,
Amen. Praise be to God. My God is awesome. And now
yes.
It's time for our lesson. At this time, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Lady Nadine. How are you this evening?
God bless you, too. God bless you, too. It's such a blessing to be here today.
Amen.
As we go through the Bible, and we are now completing or still working on 1 Corinthians, which was written by Paul. And so let's delve into this word that we makes me so excited to learn about the Word of God. And so I'm going to open us up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you. We adore you, Lord God. Lord God, we worship you because you are so awesome. And because you loved us so much, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for the fact that you loved us so much from the very beginning, Lord God. You wanted to rebuild a relationship with us so badly that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. But Lord God, we celebrate the fact that he only stayed there for 3 days, Lord God. And he rose from the dead, and now he sits on your right hand, Lord God, pleading our case. We thank you, Lord God, because Jesus even prayed for us. He prayed for the believers. And we are just so grateful, Lord God. Lord God, help us to be able to share just that good news with each and every person who does not know you, Lord God, as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, we welcome you here into this lesson, Lord God. We pray for an increase, Lord God. We pray that others will come to this class, Lord God, just to learn more about you. This talk through the Bible just enlightens us, Lord God, about each book of the Bible, Lord God, and the theme and the importance of each book of the Bible. So we thank you for that, Lord God, and we open up this lesson to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, we are up to answer the report for fornication. Is that where we are?
No, answer to letter of question.
The letter of question. Yeah, that's right. We talked about the corny. His boy was messing with his father's wife. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, answer to letter of questions. And that's chapters 7 through 16. And it says, in these chapters, the Apostle Paul gives authoritative answers to thorny questions raised by the Corinthians. His first counsel concerned the issue of marriage, celibacy, divorce, and remarriage. And that's in chapter 7. Let me turn to chapter 7. I can read it. I have a new study Bible. I'm so excited about it. It's so big, Hilda, because it's in large it's in large letters. But
yes,
the Bible itself is so huge.
Yes,
so
it is. I mean huge.
So I'm gonna read from my new Bible, the New Living Translation.
Amen.
And Paul answers church questions. After discussing disorders in the church, Paul moves to the list of questions the Corinthians had sent him, including subjects of marriage, singleness, eating meat offered to idols, propriety in worship, orderliness in the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, and the resurrection. Questions that plague the churches today are remarkably similar to these, so we can receive specific guidance in these areas from this letter.
Amen.
And so I will read, I'll start reading it. So instructions on Christian marriage. Now, regarding the question you asked in your letter, yes, saying from sexual relationships, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill the wife's sexual needs and the wife should fulfill her husband's sexual needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterwards, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not a command. But I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, unmarried, just as I am. But if you can't control, if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And the husband must not leave his wife. Now, I will speak to the rest of you. Though I do not have a direct 20 pages.
Okay.
I do not have a direct command from the Lord.
Yes.
If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to continue living with her, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage, and the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children will not be holy, but now they will be holy. This is so interesting, this verse, okay, because my husband, my uncle has been married for, Shani is 30. So he got married when Shani was born. My uncle Franklin. He got married when my, and his wife is Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And he never converted to Jehovah's Witness. And I was always, you know, I was like, because I kept waiting for him to convert because he said, yeah, they would bring the brothers here to try, she would bring the brothers over to the house to try to convert him to Jehovah's Witness, but she gave up. Like, they gave up on him. Like, they don't bother him anymore. But I see why, because if they follow this particular verse, this is probably why she continued to stay with him. Because it says, if the fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer, and they said vice versa, or if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer,
yeah,
and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him.
Right.
And that's all so that the children will remain holy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, when I read this, I thought about her. I was like, how can she continue to be with him if he doesn't convert? But this is, you know, because, you know, they take bits and pieces of the Bible. They,
yeah.
You know, they make
Paul,
their own Bible.
Paul is telling you why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me continue.
Okay.
So that the children are now holy. Yes. But if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, let them go.
Mm-hmm.
In such cases, the believing husband or wife no longer bound to the other, for God has called you to live in peace.
Don't
you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you?
Mm-hmm.
And don't you husbands realize that your wives might be saved because of you? Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all churches. For instance, a man who was circumcised before he became a believer should not try to reverse it. And a man who was uncircumcised when he became a believer should not try to be circumcised now. For it makes no difference whether a man has been circumcised. It makes no difference of whether a man has been circumcised. The important thing is to keep God's commandment. Yes, each of you should remain as you were when God called you. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. But if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you and you are now a slave, you are now a slave of Christ. God paid a high price for you. So don't be enslaved by the world.
Mm-hmm.
Each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. Now, regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them,
mm-hmm.
but the Lord, in his mercy, has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you don't have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. And I am trying to spare you those troubles. That's definitely true.
Woo.
Married people have some troubles, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny that Paul said that. I'm warning you. Those of you who get married is going to have some troubles. And buddy, he said, oh, he was true.
Oh, yeah, he
definitely true about
mouthful.
That.
He said a mouthful, honey. If you ain't, don't even think about it.
Right. But he says, but let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world as we know it will soon pass away.
Yes.
Will soon pass away.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. But if a man thinks that he's treating his fiance improperly and will inevitably give in to his passions, let him marry her as he wishes. It is not a sin. Now, you know what? This is so interesting because, let me finish it and I'll tell you. But if he has decided firmly not to marry and there is no urgency and he can control his passion, he does well not to marry. So the person who marries his fiance does well, and the person who doesn't marry does even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but only if he loves the Lord.
Oh.
But in my opinion, it would be better for her to stay single. And I think I am giving you counsel from God's spirit when I say it.
Wow.
Okay. So what do you think of that?
That's a lot of stipulations because, I mean, if you're a young woman and your husband died and you want to marry again, and maybe the first husband, she didn't have no children or anything. And then the next husband that she married may give her children, you know, like, but then again, you see, we have
That's okay.
It's
right.
Okay.
If your husband dies, then you're free to marry whoever you want to marry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's saying that she can only marry if her husband dies.
Yes. Right.
That's
right. So actually,
that's a capital I. So if her husband dies.
If the husband dies. So that's why, you know, because we know, the word says God does not love divorce. And when you're supposed to be married to somebody for life,
right,
according to God's will. And that if, and you know, as it says here, you can't marry again.
Mm-mm.
Unless the husband dies.
Right.
But, you know, I, that was one of my dilemmas too, you know, in marrying Robert, because I knew this word but I kind of felt like, you know, my husband wasn't dead. But I'm gonna tell you, this same chapter is why I married my husband. My first husband, because I'm not going to say I loved him, but I didn't want to fornicate. So when this says, you know, it was the verse that said, you know, if you can't control your lust, then it's best to marry. That is was the
you know, the motivating factor for us to get married, because, you know, he was a Christian too, and we like, oh boy, we're going to have to get married because we are, you know, fornicating. So I don't know. This is a this chapter is very
okay. So yeah, let's see, 32 and 34. You got the commentary. What does the commentary
say?
I do.
Well, so 32 to 34 says.
Mm-hmm.
Says some single people feel tremendous pressure to be married.
Mm-hmm.
They think their lives can be complete only with a spouse. But Paul underlines one advantage of being single: the potential of a greater focus on Christ and his work. If you are unmarried, use this opportunity to serve Christ wholly. That's what it says.
Wholeheartedly, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it says.
38 says, Paul, when Paul says the unmarried person does even better, he is talking about the potential time available for service to God. The single person does not have the responsibility of caring for a spouse and raising a family. Singleness, however, does not ensure service to God. Exactly. Involvement in service depends on the commitment of the individual. Mm-hmm. So you can still be single and not use your time to serve God. Because
absolutely.
Now your mind is occupied on all the things that's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the only way you would, but this is the whole thing about it. I mean, I know Convent had, Convent used to have a single people ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a singles ministry. And this was the same, you know, chapter of Corinthians that was, say, like the basis for the class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and particularly focusing on Paul's words to single people. And the only way that you truly know as a single person how to, or even think about, you know, spending your time with God more and serving God more is by studying the Word of God and by just reading this section, because you're right. Normally, people would be like, "Woe is me," right?
Yes, exactly.
And they have their, because they trying so hard to find a man to marry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very rare that they take that attitude of "I'm single." You know, and therefore I'm going to spend my time, you know, serving the Lord only. Because in this day and time, there's so many other distractions.
Absolutely.
And unless you make it purposeful, you know, purposely serve God, you know, it's going to be basically the same thing. You get so busy with busy stuff that you're not worshiping God. You're not even serving the Lord as a single person.
Oh. Exactly. And even Paul still says that his advice comes from the Holy Spirit. So all of these things that Paul is telling the married, the unmarried, the singles, it's not coming from him. It's coming from the Holy Spirit, who guides and equips
gives him
both
wisdom.
Single
right.
and married people to fulfill their role. So we all have a role to play while we're down here on earth.
That's right.
And
that
wherever
is so
the Holy
true.
Spirit guides us, that is the direction we have to go into if we are listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Yep, absolutely.
But, wow, that's, I'm like, okay, I said, that's why I said, I've been married once. It's not all what it works out to be. So let me just, stay single. And then the pandemic came in to really make people stay single. Because now you're afraid. Oh, God, what happens if I date this man and something happened to me and he's sick and dead? I can say, no.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
A lot of people just, and then we were confined to the house, so there was no way that you would go out to clubbing and partying and looking. There was nothing
exactly.
to look for.
Because the pandemic cut all of that out. Pandemic cut all that out.
And as soon as they lifted, now people are starting to go back to their old ways. So this really haven't taught a lot of people anything.
Right.
Because if they
That's
did,
right.
they would not be doing going back to the old ways, they will be trying to get closer and closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So now the next three.
But thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. the nosy one.
Is somebody else on the line?
No, that was Siri. I didn't call her, but, you know, when you talk, she come in. And I say,
okay.
She busts in, but
so,
she come in.
The next three chapters are related to the problem of meat offered to idols, and that's chapter 8. Could you read it, please?
Oh, sure. Instructions on Christian freedom. Food sacrifice to idols. Now, regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols, yes, we know that. We all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So, what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a God, and that there is only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But we know that there is only one God, the Father who created everything. And we live for him. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. They crazy. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods. And their weak conscience are violated. It's true that we cannot win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live. For I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. Amen. Short and sweet.
So I have just a breakdown here of the advice to strong believers, weaker believers, pastors, and leaders. The book says, for stronger believers, don't be proud of your maturity. Don't flaunt your freedom. Act in love so you do not cause a weaker believer to stumble.
Right.
For the weaker believers, although you may not feel the same freedom in some areas as others do, take your time and pray to God. But do not force others to adhere to your stipulations. You will hinder other believers if you make up rules and standards of how everyone ought to behave. Make sure your convictions are based on God's word and are not simply an expression of your own opinion. And for pastors and leaders, it says, teach correctly from God's word, helping Christians to understand what is right and wrong in God's eyes, and to see that they can have varied opinions on other issues and still be unified. Don't allow potential problems to get out of hand, causing splits and divisions.
Okay.
So it says, Paul advises those who are more mature in the faith, including pastors and other leaders, about how they must care about their brothers and sisters in Christ who have more tender consciences and how to help them resolve conflicts in this area. Those weak brothers and sisters are advised concerning their growth as they are called to run the race of faith.
Amen.
So that was 8. So then I want to say that Paul illustrates from his own life the twin principles of Christian liberty and the law of love. And he concludes that believers must sometimes limit their liberty for the sake of the weaker brother. Which I can understand that. I understand. It's, I guess it goes the same thing like if somebody has an alcohol problem.
Right.
You shouldn't sit there and drink a glass of wine in front of them.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Because it would tempt them. Or so this is how you show in compassion for that person when when you do that. The apostle Romans chapter 14. The apostle then turns to matters concerning public worship, including improper observance of the Lord's Supper and the selfish use of spiritual gifts.
Wow.
And that goes Yeah, chapter 11 to chapter 14. Maybe we'll just read that on our own.
Yeah.
Chapter 11 to chapter 14. So gifts are to be exercised in love for the edification of the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
The Corinthians also have problems with the resurrection, which Paul seeks to correct in chapter 15, which you probably can read 15. His historical theological defense of the resurrection includes teaching on the nature of the resurrection body. The Corinthians probably have been struggling over this issue because of the idea of the resurrected body is disdainful in Greek thought.
Mm-hmm.
Greeks don't, you know, because they don't believe in the resurrection.
Right.
Most of Corinthians, I just read that the majority of people who lived in Corinth were Greek, were Gentiles. The epistle closes with Paul's instructions for the collection he will make for the saints in Jerusalem, because he talks about, you know, he did go to Jerusalem to bring money.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by miscellaneous exhorts and greetings. So you want to get chapter 15?
Yeah.
So I can read.
Okay. Chapter 15 says, instructions on resurrection, the resurrection of Christ. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preach to you before. You welcome it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saved you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what have also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without result, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God, who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. The resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that cannot be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. 17. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of sins, with an S, sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anything in the world, anyone in the world.
Absolutely.
Okay. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But
Praise the Lord.
An order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Praise be to God. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God, the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Then, when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. If the dead will not be raised, what point is there in people being baptized? For those who are dead, why do it unless the dead will someday rise again? And why should we ourselves risk our lives hour by hour? For I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. This is as certain as many pride in what Christ Jesus, our Lord, has done in you. 32. And what value was there in fighting wild beasts? Those people of Ephesus, if there will be no resurrection from the dead, and if there is no resurrection,
he's calling the people of Ephesus wild beasts. He said, and what value was there to be fighting wild beasts? Those people in Ephesus
They showed up. So let's feast and drink. Tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Absolutely. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. Resurrection body. 35. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a serious question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body. He wants it to have a different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. Ooh. One kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of heaven, the glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the earthly body. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind, and even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Praise be to God. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from the heavens. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What are you saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. Oh, it's not even finished. But
I know. You okay? You want me to read the rest, or you okay?
Oh no, I'm just
about. Yes, yeah, a little bit left.
Very funny. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die. Woo! But we will all be transformed. Hallelujah.
Woo, hallelujah.
It will happen in a moment, in a twink, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? But sin is the sting that results in death. And the Lord gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes, you can really preach these scriptures just like this.
Oh,
it's a song.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That was so powerful, Hilda.
Yes.
You did preach this scripture. You preach this scripture, honey. You preach this scripture. Oh, my God. That was so beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God, that was really, really beautiful.
You know, one of these days, I'm going to preach from this one of these chapters.
Oh, yes.
I may preach this same one, chapter 15.
Yeah, the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So this book breaks it down, down earthly versus resurrection body. So it says the earthly body, does a comparison. The earthly bodies are perishable. The resurrected bodies are imperishable. The earthly bodies are sown in dishonor. The resurrected bodies are raised in glory. The earthly bodies are sown in weakness. The resurrected bodies are raised in power. The earthly bodies are natural. The resurrected bodies are spiritual. The earthly bodies come from dust, meaning Adam, and the resurrected bodies from heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, goodness gracious.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord.
Oh, that was so awesome, Hilda. Oh, my goodness.
But you know,
I've read this before.
Yes, you know, like when you when you're reading the scripture, and it's like it's not you reading. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just takes over, and next thing you find yourself preaching the scriptures.
Whoa, well, honey, that is the truth. Because you preach this scripture.
God, oh my goodness!
Oh my God, that was so awesome! So awesome! Okay, so next we go on to 2 Corinthians.
So we're going to, how many chapters is 2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians.
Ooh, it's 13. Okay, so that's homework. So because
we go into it, we do 2 Corinthians. Next week. It's only 13 chapters in 2 Corinthians?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we can leave this. We have time to be here.
Well, either way, we're going to have to read it because there's a lot of scriptures too.
Yeah, that's a lot
of scriptures in the lesson.
Right. Okay, that's cool. All right. Well, went past 8 o'clock. To God be the glory. You want to pray us out?
Oh, Lord God, thank you for this wonderful word tonight. Thank you for all that was said. Thank you for opening up our minds and our hearts to understand what the word is saying, what Paul is telling us how to live as married and unmarried people, Lord God, single. Lord God, touch each and every one here tonight who was under the sound of our Lady Nadine's voice with this lesson, Lord God. Touch them from the crown of the heads to the soles of the feet. Make sure, Lord God, that their ears were open and their hearts was preceding what Paul was saying in the scriptures, Lord God. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for all that you're doing. And most of all, Lord God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that was sent back to dwell inside of us and to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. We ask that you watch over our families tonight as they lay down to sleep and to see fit to wake them up in the morning to a brand new day. We don't know what that day is going to bring, but Lord God, whatever you choose it to be, let your will be done. And we ask, bless my pastor, Lord God, bless my first lady, bless all of those in House of the Lord online ministry, Lord God. Help us to come to one accord, Lord God. We're all here to serve you and you alone, Lord God. We love you, praise and honor and adore you. We thank you. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Bless you, First Lady. Have a wonderful evening.
Oh, thank you. You too. God bless.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye. And on that note, we are out.